Les conférences du Collège de France.
So some of you are here in the first lecture, but in the first lecture we looked at the rapid growth and long stagnation that the Japanese economy experienced in the last 70 years or so. And today we go deeper and look into a very important issue for the Japanese economy going forward. And that is the issue of the demographic challenge, including low birth rate, population decline, which started around 2010, and aging of the population. And many countries are experiencing these demographic challenges, not only Japan, but the rest of Asian countries and also European countries. France, I understand, was a little bit better than other countries at some point, but now are experiencing some similar demographic challenges. Some of you attended my first lecture, but some of you didn't. So let me start by reviewing what we discussed in the first lecture. Okay, so this is a one-page summary of what we have learned, or what I have argued in the October 2nd lecture. So Japan was successful in rapidly growing after the post-war, and the success was mainly a result of a catch-up economies. Japan started at a lower level of GDP, lower level of economic activities, and then they were able to catch up by accumulating capital, improving the labor, and also, most importantly, increasing the state of technology by mostly importing from advanced countries. But the strategy of catch-up growth became ineffective as Japan succeeded in catching up with more advanced economy that, to some extent, happened in Europe as well. Europe had to catch up after the devastation of the war, and Japan did the same thing. And after the catch-up, now you need to, or the country needs to, come up with their own technology, the new technology, which is much harder than importing or imitating other countries. So Japan should have shifted to the strategy that is supported by more by domestic innovation, but it failed to do so. And Japan's long stagnation started, and there was a lot of factors behind the Japan's long stagnation, but I pointed out a couple of things. The one is the demographic challenge, or the population decline, or the decline of population growth, okay, was not that important, not as important as people often suggest. And the more important factor was the lack of productivity growth. Okay. So that was what we did in the first lecture. And today, we look more into demographic challenges. Okay. Although I said the demographic challenges are exaggerated for Japan, but I go deeper and clarify what I mean by exaggerated. And also, I want to point out that demographic challenges, although I think it's exaggerated in Japan, but the demographic challenges are there. And there is a big shift which few people are paying attention, which can have a serious implication for the Japanese economic growth going forward. So that's something I want to do, the thing today. And this is an outline of today's lecture. So it consists of four questions. I'll be asking four questions, questioning the validity of usual discourse. So the first one is, some people say that the Japanese economy is doomed because of the demographic challenges. No economy can grow with a declining population. And as we saw a little bit in the first lecture, that's not true. Okay, so I'm already giving the answer. But the question is the Japanese economy doomed to shrink as its population ages and the number of people shrinks? Okay, and I will argue that's not necessarily the case. And a related argument which people make about Japan is as population decline and at the same time more and more people crowd to Tokyo, which is a capital city of Japan, and the rest of Japan, except for Tokyo, will collapse or disappear in some of the cases. So as people move to Tokyo from the rest of Japan, the regional cities disappear. And this is called the Tokyo over-concentration thesis. And again, I will cast a doubt on that usual discussion. And in these population decline and also over-concentration into Tokyo, many people blame women, especially young women, and argues that the women's are responsible, the women's are more likely to move to Tokyo and leave the rural cities, and they're responsible for over-concentration and the decline of the Japanese economy. So that has been the rhetoric, even by the Japanese government. Now Japan has a woman as a prime minister. This is the first thing, this happened for the first time in the post-war period, or actually in history of Japan, I guess, as long as the prime minister system, the cabinet system existed. So the government rhetoric may change. I hope it'll change. But so far, the Japanese people, including the Japanese government, has been blaming women, young women, for the troubles the Japanese face for the demographic challenges. And another thing the Japanese people, the Japanese government has been blaming is universities in Tokyo. Because people move from rural area to Tokyo to come to the universities in Tokyo. So that creates a problem. The more people move to Tokyo when they are young, and the rural cities continue to decline. Okay, and I have to say no because I work at the university in Tokyo. Okay? And more importantly, this is wrong, as I will say. It's not the case that people move to enter the universities. Okay, so these are the things that we will do today. Okay, so the first thing first. So the first one is this is something we have already talked about in the first lecture. And I argued the impact of population decline on economic growth is exaggerated. And what has been more important for economic decline in Japan was the lack of productivity growth. And so it's a productivity growth rather than the population decline. But often people blame the population decline as a most important source of the economic stagnation in Japan. And the message here is that Japan cannot use demographic challenges as an excuse for the lack of growth. So let's review the discussion we had in the first lecture. There are some equations which you don't like to see. But this is saying, as I explained in the first lecture, very simple thing. The economic growth can be decomposed into three parts. So economic growth can grow for three reasons. One is the population growth is important for economic growth, as more people, if the economy has more people, they can produce more. Okay, so that leads to economic growth. Now, if more people work, even if the population doesn't change, then they can produce more and the economy grows. So the growth of participation rate also helps. So let me use a pointer here. Okay, so economic growth can be decomposed into population growth, growth of participation rate, and then productivity growth. And the productivity here is the level of output, like GDP, divided by the number of working people. Okay, so if each person, each worker produces more, then the economy grows. Okay, so the economic growth can be decomposed into these three parts: population growth and the growth of participation rate and the productivity growth. And the first two factors, population growth and the growth of participation rate, are related to demography. So we can call that the demographic factors. Okay. And as we saw in the first lecture, the red part is a contribution of the population growth to the economic growth. Okay. Green part is a contribution of growth of participation rate, how many people are working given the population. And blue part is a productivity growth. And we do this decomposition for each decade from 1955 to 2024. Okay, so a 10-year period. The last one is only 9 years so far. What we can find is that in rapid economic growth period, 50s and 60s, and to some extent 70s, the blue part was the most important. So what happened in Japan is the blue part got smaller and the economy stagnated. So most of the stagnation is explained by the decline of productivity growth. The demographic challenge is there because add up the green part and the red part here, it add up to about 1%. So when the economy was doing well, the demographic factors contributed 1% to the economic growth. So the impact of the demography was a plus 1%. And towards the end of the 1990s and 2000, it became basically zero. So the demography stopped contributing to the economic growth. So the demographic challenge, the population decline and the decline of participation rate until very recently, which I don't talk about today, but those are important. So that reduced the economic growth rate by 1%. But the other part, the decline of growth rate from, say, 8%, 7% to 1%. So other part, of these are 6% growth decline, 1% is explained by demographic factors, other 5% come from the decline of productivity growth. So the demographic factors is there, it's not helping the Japanese economy, but it's not the major factor for the productivity slowdown. Okay. Now, some people criticize this type of exercise by arguing, the productivity here is measured by the output, by the number of people who are working. Okay. But one thing we have observed in the past is that each person has been working less in Japan, working hours has been declining. So if you consider output per hour worked instead of output per number of workers, then the Japan's figure looks better. Okay? And that's true. Okay? So this is the blue one is, the red one is a GDP divided by labor force, which we have been looking at. And the blue one is a GDP divided by hour. And of course, the units are different. But if we look at the blue line, the GDP divided by our hourly productivity is declined less. But nonetheless, we can see the decline. Okay? So it's going up, but more slowly after 2000 or so, after late 1990s. So the overall picture doesn't change. And just to make sure we can do calculation a little bit more in details and decompose the productivity growth into two parts, the growth of hour per labor force and productivity growth measured in hourly productivity. Okay. And what we find is basically the same thing because the number of hours declined a lot in 1980s and 1990s, we can see the hourly productivity increases a little bit. But still, if you look at the compare 2000s to 1970s, the productivity growth slowed down a lot. Okay, and that was more important than the change in demography. Okay. So overall, this is a repeat of what we talked about in the first lecture, but the demographic factors explain a small portion of a relatively small portion of economic stagnation, and a more important factor has been the lack of productivity growth. So Japan cannot blame demographic factors. Okay. So the second thing I want to go through, this is a new part today, is another often made argument, that is that people are flowing into Tokyo and there's an over-concentration into Tokyo. And combined with the population decline, there will be no city in Japan except for Tokyo in, I don't know, 100 years or 150 years. Okay. So, but what we find is, first, movement into Tokyo today is not as high as the movement of people into Tokyo back in 1970s. Okay. So, the Tokyo people's movement or the concentration of Tokyo hasn't happened today. It happened a long time ago, and then we are coming back again. Okay. And another thing, another more important thing I want to make is if we look at, instead of the net flow is inflow minus outflow, so instead of looking at the difference between the number of people coming in and the number of people coming out, instead of doing that, if we look at the gross figure, the total number of people moving in or out, then what we find is the people's movement rather declined over time. Even the people who are number of people who are coming into Tokyo declined over time. Okay. So the picture is very different from a usual discussion that the people are recently moving into Tokyo. It's not the case. Actually, the people are moving less into Tokyo and out of Tokyo and everywhere in Japan. The people are moving less. Okay. So this is a picture of first net inward migration into Tokyo. So this is the number of people moving into Tokyo minus the number of people who are moving out of Tokyo for each year from 1958 to 2024. And I spoke wrong. So instead of 70s, I should have talked about 50s and early 60s. 50s and early 60s, we had more net inward migration into Tokyo compared with today. So it's positive today, but the level is lower than 1960 or so. So the Tokyo, even when we look at the net inward migration, the migration into Tokyo is not that special. Okay, it's positive. And more important point is if we look at gross migration instead of the difference between people moving in and people moving out, if we look at the volume or the number of people who are moving in and the number of people who are moving out of Tokyo, then both of those were much higher in 1960s and my timing was right, 1970 or so. Okay. We used to have somewhere between, about 600,000 people moving into and moving out of Tokyo back in 60s and 70s. And now it declined to about half of, about half. Somewhere between 300,000 to 400,000 people are moving in and moving out of Tokyo. So the degree of movement, the people move less now. So instead of more people are moving into Tokyo, the smaller number of people are moving into Tokyo, and yet even smaller number of people are moving out of Tokyo. So if you look at the net migration rate, it looks like the Tokyo people are coming into Tokyo more than before, but it's not the case. The people are just not moving. And this is probably the clearest picture to look at. So this is the sum of all the internal movement across the prefectures in Japan. Okay. So this adds up all the inflows for all the prefectures in Japan, and it's the same number as the sum of all the outflows as well, because if someone moved from one prefecture to another, they are counted as inflow ones or outflow ones and inflow ones. So the total inflows and total outflows for the country as a whole becomes exactly the same. And this is in the number of the people who move across prefectures in Japan. That number declined from the peak of around, in this case, 4 million to close to 2 million now. Okay. So the people are moving less. And this is not only in Japan. There are recent studies which show a similar decline of moving in the U.S. as well. And I'm not sure about Europe, but I wouldn't be surprised that the people are moving less these days. But for Japan, this is what's happening. So not people are moving more into Tokyo, the people are moving less everywhere in Japan. So influx of population into Tokyo, which is often talked about, is just not happening. So people are not moving. That seems to be what's happening in Japan. If I have time at the end, I'd like to talk about the potential implication of people not moving to the economic growth. And the third one, another thing, when people talk about the over-concentration in Tokyo, and more young people are moving to Tokyo and the rural areas are declining, they blame women, okay? So including the government. So for example, the government, one of the government report put out by Cabinet Office called Regional Economy 2023 stated that the outflow of young women to the Tokyo metropolitan area is causing a structural labor shortage in local regions. And I will show you this is not the case. Okay. Well, to some extent, this is right. But overall, this is totally misleading. Okay. So more quotes from this regional economy 2023, just to give a hard time to the Japanese government. Okay. It is observed that in the time series of net immigration to the Tokyo metropolitan area by gender, the number of women's net immigrants has consistently exceeded that of men across all ages. And then they go on to say, as a result of the outflow of young women, rural regions are also facing a structural problem of gender imbalance in population. So they end up with, rural areas end up with more men than women. And such gender imbalance in population in the medium to long term leads to regional depopulation and declining birth rates, posing a threat to sustainability of local economies. Okay, so Japanese women, young women in local areas are doing terrible things to the Japanese economy. Okay. So, and I will argue this is not really the case. Okay. So, sorry. Okay. So, actually, the first sentence is correct. If we look at net immigration, so again, the difference between inflow and outflow, then we can see the women's net immigration to Tokyo in recent period is slightly higher than men. Okay. So the first sentence is not wrong. Okay. So if you look at the net migration, the women seem to be moving more into Tokyo. But again, if we look at gross number, just the number of people who are moving into Tokyo and the number of people who are moving out of Tokyo, and look at by gender, the picture is totally different. Okay. So this is a crowded figure. So let's tease these out. So this shows inward migration into Tokyo and outward migration out of Tokyo by gender. So this blue line is the number of men who's moving into Tokyo, and red line is a number of women who are moving into Tokyo. What we see is the number of men who are moving into Tokyo has been consistently higher than the number of women who are moving into Tokyo. So the more men are moving into Tokyo. And also more men are moving out of Tokyo. So this light blue line is outward migration out of Tokyo for men, and the yellow line is for women. Again, the men move out of Tokyo more. Okay. So, and the gap has been shrinking a little bit, okay, these days. And that shows up as an increase in net immigration for women. But what's happening here is women move less than men, both inward and outward. Okay. So that's what's happening. So we shouldn't make a mistake that the problem is created by the women moving from rural area to Tokyo and discourage the women's movement. So because the problem here, or what we see here, is that women do not move compared with men. And both of those movements are declining, which is another problem for Japan, I would say. So it's not the case that women are not moving into Tokyo, not more so compared with men. Okay. Now, continue picking on the government report of 2023. Okay. The report continues to argue the outflow of young women has also resulted in structural problem of gender imbalance in the local population. And this is a figure they show in order to support this statement. So this shows is the for each prefecture. Okay, you don't read, well, many of you don't read Chinese characters, and these are too small for me to read anyway. But for each prefecture, this graph shows the degree of imbalance. So gender ratio of unmarried people 20 to 34 years old. So the number of men to each woman. Okay, so if you so this number is high if there are more unmarried men compared with unmarried women. Okay, if their number is exactly the same, this will be one, which is almost the case for the first one. It turns out Fukuoka Prefecture, and Tokyo is the fourth one from the top, and their balance is pretty good. But as we go down this figure, some prefectures have a very high number of men compared with women. Okay? And the report argues because there are much more men in rural areas compared with women, they can't get married and they can't start family. Okay? And these red bars are the prefectures in these regions which are supposed to be experiencing a particularly rapid outflow of women. Okay, so this shows when more women are moving out, the gender imbalance is worse. Okay. Now this is just not very systematic way to see that relation. More systematic way to see that relation is to draw a graph, a scatter diagram, which measures, in this case, difference in net out migration rate compared with women and men. So what happens in the prefectures where women in net moves out more than men, that result in higher imbalance ratio of unmarried men to women, which is a claim that the report is making. And actually, it is a case. So as long as you look at the net migration and look at the difference between men and women for net movement, this is a case. But if we look at the gross outward migration, so the number of women moving out minus number of men moving out, okay, it's a rate, so I divide by the population, okay, then the relation is not clear. Okay, if anything, there's a negative relation, but basically zero. Okay, and one interesting thing is this numbers at the bottom, these are all negative. Okay. So the women's migration rate is for all the prefectures less than men's migration rate. Okay. So again, this shows that women move less. Okay. Not only for the aggregate, not only for the average of the country, but every prefecture, the women move less than men. Okay. And it's not related, and the difference is not related to the gender imbalance. What is related to the gender imbalance is the inward migration. So here, I'm calculating the difference, subtracting the women's inward migration rate from men's. Okay. So in the prefecture where men moves in more than women, and again, we should note this is all positive. Okay. Men moves more than women, and the women moves less than men, both inward and outward. Okay. So in those prefectures where the women move inward less than men, then the gender imbalance is more serious. So the problem is not the women's moving. So the problem comes from the women not moving compared with men.
Okay.
So the discouraging the women's movement out of rural area to Tokyo will be counterproductive.
Okay.
So that is the third part. We shouldn't blame women for all the troubles. And I hope our new prime minister agrees with me and the government change the rhetoric.
Okay.
So the policy is to... So far, the government has been at least implicitly discouraging the women in regional areas not to move into Tokyo.
Okay.
So they've been discouraging the women's movement, migration, but that policies, that type of policies sound or are questionable. Okay. So the last point is about universities. And this is another thing that is blamed related to urban concentration of population into Tokyo. And based on this type of argument, or based on this idea that the people move to attend universities in Tokyo from rural areas, there is a policy to restrict the expansion of universities in Tokyo, universities in central Tokyo, including our own University of Tokyo. So I have a personal stake in this. But this is myth.
Okay.
And many people are now writing about it, many economists at least, arguing. So Yasuhiro Sato is an urban economist. A colleague of mine at the University of Tokyo is a concentration of university enrollment in Tokyo accelerating. And this is the question is rhetoric. And the answer is no. That's what he argues. Kazumasa Oguro is another economist at Hosei University. And he says, oh, this is not in question, so that's good. The main reason young people from rural areas move to Tokyo is not to go to university.
Okay.
So in a different ages. So for example, we can see that the peak age of the people move, or when people move from rural area outside the Tokyo metropolitan area to Tokyo, is not in between 15 and 19. It's if we had a number for each age, it'll be better. But many people enter universities at age 18 or 19.
Okay,
so this is the point we should be looking at. It's not the peak of movement. The peak is in 20s. So after college, or after, I don't know, the first job. Okay, so those are the timing that people move.
Okay,
and one interesting thing is so this shows the number for the movement for by age, inward migration into Tokyo by age for 2010, 2016, and 2024.
Okay,
and policy to restrict the expansion of the universities in Tokyo, central Tokyo area, started in 2017.
Okay.
So it's very hard to see, but if I try hard, I can see the impact of the policy.
Right.
The movement into Tokyo for 15 to 19 years old declined a little bit. And it resulted in, or it's maybe coincidence, increase in the people who are moving into Tokyo in a different age.
Okay.
So at least this policy hasn't been effective in reducing the number of people who are moving into Tokyo, because the people do not move into Tokyo to attend universities. That's not the peak. Okay. And this is another way to look at the same thing. If we divide the number, if we divide the college entrance or entrance to colleges in Tokyo by location of their graduating high school, the blue part is the people who are coming from areas other than Tokyo areas, the immediate Tokyo, surrounding areas of Tokyo. And the red part is the number of high school graduates or the graduates who graduate from high schools in Tokyo areas, which include four prefectures, including Tokyo, Kanagawa, Saitama, and Chiba. So what's been happening is actually the number of the students moving from rural areas to Tokyo has been declining, okay, or flat maybe. And the more people in Tokyo, University of Tokyo, universities in Tokyo, more students are coming from the Tokyo area, not from rural areas. And this is another way to look at the same thing. This may be easier to see. This shows the proportion of students who graduate high school other than Tokyo area, and that moves to college is in Tokyo. So if you are not in Tokyo, how many of your classmates go to Tokyo to attend college? And it used to be the case around 17%, 60% of the people, or 50% went to Tokyo. Now, around 10%, 10 to 11%. Okay. So the people's movement from rural area to Tokyo when they attend college has been declining.
Okay.
Again, so the policy to discourage the expansion of universities in Tokyo and discourage the people in rural area to move to Tokyo to attend universities is misleading.
Okay.
And as I said, I have a personal stake in this issue because not only I'm at university in Tokyo or University of Tokyo, okay, but also I was one of those rural area high school graduates who went to Tokyo to study.
Okay.
So back in the days when I started university, which is actually before this figure, it's before 1984, but many of us moved from rural areas to Tokyo. And I think that was a good idea. I had that led to a good career for me, and probably that was better for the Japanese economy than my staying in a rural area and do farming, for example. But so it's not right to discourage the young people in rural areas to come to Tokyo.
Okay.
So the college entrance is just not relevant. Okay, it's not a peak of migration. So the policy to limit the enrollment at colleges in Tokyo totally missed the point.
Okay.
So just to wrap up today's lecture, I asked four questions and answered no to all of those. So the demographic factors are less important than productivity growth for Japanese economic growth. This is something we saw in our first lecture as well. And Tokyo over-concentration thesis is wrong in assuming that people are moving more into Tokyo. What's happening is that people are moving less all over Japan, okay, than they used to. Okay. And the third one should be clear by now. Japan shouldn't blame women, especially young women. They are not the problem. And the problem, if there is one, is about the women, is that the women are not moving or can't move or discouraged to move or encouraged to stay in their hometown. Mm-hmm. And I don't repeat what I said for universities in Tokyo. We should be able to expand.
Okay.
So let me finish here and get some questions.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.